And welcome back, everybody, to the latest edition of the Padre Cast, coming to you just 2 weeks now away from E3, so a lot of build-up there, and usually what we end up getting is a dead period before E3, but actually this year it's been quite the opposite. We have a ton of stuff to talk about, a ton of breaking news that just happens to be coming out a couple weeks before E3, and maybe some of those things tie into announcements or presentations at E3, which we'll find out when we're there. But in the meantime, I got Fred here with me to talk about some of the stuff. How are you doing today, man?
Hey, not bad. Just enjoying the long weekend. Got to go back to work tomorrow, so I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, not
yeah,
good.
Yeah, long week. Sometimes those long weekends are just as much work as work, though.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I do enjoy having the Monday off as opposed to the Friday. You know, you get the long weekend, and then it seems like when you go back to work, next thing you know, it's Tuesday, so the weekend's almost there again. So
yeah, another short week. Mm-hmm. So just to kick it off, I thought I'd mention we actually, the release of Backbreaker, which they kind of moved the date up on at the last minute and let it go out on the Saturday before its scheduled release date. But the game is now out there, at least at GameStop, and everybody else can pick up the game on Tuesday on its regular release date of June 1st. But, you know, rather than talking a whole lot about Backbreaker, we kind of did that earlier when the demo came out. Just direct everybody, I have full impressions, early impressions from the full game up on the site. And then also I just posted up a little earlier on online play impressions. So if you haven't picked up a copy of the game, check those out. Like I told some people, you know, I'm not trying to sway opinions. This is how the game is. If you guys want extra information on it or just a little guidance on what to expect from the game before you pick it up, I don't think that can hurt. Overall, the game, it's got some really cool technical elements to it. Some impressive things are seen, but it's largely overshadowed by some pretty serious AI problems and a bunch of bugs. So check out the full impressions, read it over. Feel free to leave comments if you agree, or of course if you disagree. I'm typically used to those type of comments. So I thought we'd transition here into some talk. You know, it's kind of weird. We're at the end of May, and on the very same day, two really huge stories for NBA gaming broke. The first one was that NBA Live, at least in name, is no more. That long-running series getting a name change will now be known as NBA Elite, with the release later this year in October of NBA Elite 11, along with the news of the name change came a couple different, a change of, I don't know if I'd say philosophy, but it's a different direction for NBA Live. We still don't know if it's going to try to continue along the simulation path or if it's going more arcade. I think a lot of people, first reaction to the name NBA Elite, figured that sounds like an arcade game. It sounds like maybe a street game. I thought it sounded like a one-on-one game. We'll see where they go with that, and I think we'll probably find out their vision for it at E3. But we know two pretty big elements of changes to the game. The first is they're going to be instituting a real-time physics engine in that. EA Canada is also doing that in NHL, so they're probably sharing the same tech. And then we're also getting a shift to really a reliance on the right stick, which we've seen in games like Fight Night, and we've seen in Skate, where multiple functions are on the right stick. So instead of the right stick just being for dribble moves like it has been for years now, the right stick will also shoot by pushing up, and then the determining factor on how good the shot chance has of going in is going to be a pretty dependent on how straight up you push on the stick, and then I guess attributes of the players will play into that also. But what was your first reaction, Fred, to the name change and then also some of these new changes that are going to be coming along with that?
Well, when I first heard the news, I thought it was one of these things that, I believe you kind of mentioned it in your article as well, was that, you know, this we kind of saw the same thing with Triple Play Baseball moving over to the MVP. And it seems like whenever some of these games do get a name change, the game changes, you know? And I'll admit, like, I used to be a real big NBA Live fan on PS2, and then Once the PS3 came, or PS3 and Xbox 360 came out, I really didn't like them too much. You know, it just, I always got into NBA 2K. And then last year I played NBA Live, and I thought it was the best NBA Live I've played on this like next generation console, you know, before they made the move. And you know, I don't know, I still ended up going back to 2K after initially buying NBA Live and playing it. But you know, I did see some signs of improvement, and I thought that the game was pretty well done. I think for me though, it's just years of playing NBA 2K. Just I couldn't leave it, you know, I was so used to it, and I think part of the problem that's part of the problem for me with this, you know, like it sounds cool, it sounds like you know, they're trying to make improvements to make it a better basketball game. I just I'd have to play it to really see how it compares to 2K, but it reminds me a lot of it when you're talking about with the shooting and using the sticks and all that stuff. It kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, and you know, like you get comfortable with a game. So you get comfortable with the 2K game. It's less likely that you're going to switch unless you have a strong reason to. So I think that's what EA is looking at right now, is because despite improving on NBA Live the last couple of years, and especially last year, the sales have been dropping. It dropped again. It's just falling farther behind 2K. 2K is kind of in that, basketball isn't as big as football, but 2K is kind of in the same position of Madden, where even when there was competition, Madden was the name. You know, everybody went out to get Madden. For basketball now, that's 2K, and that's not going to change overnight. And we've seen that with the sales numbers that have come out. And I can't fault that, you know, whether one game is better than the other, whatever people are comfortable with, whatever they enjoy, that's typically what they're going to pick up. And so I think what EA is looking to do here is offer something completely different, at least with the right stick use and the physics engine. I think if there's one thing that really hampers 2K the last couple years, other than issues with online play, with their gameplay, it was reliance on animations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was why Mike Wang left 2K to begin with before now he's gone back, was because he kind of felt that the engine had maxed out. Because you saw with EA games, they took a big change at the new generation. They rebuilt everything. Whereas a lot of the other companies just stuck with their current engines and kind of up the graphics levels. So he had kind of thought that it had maxed out, and everybody saw the reliance on animations. You can't break out of animations as well as you can in other games. So they're looking to differentiate themselves with this physics engine, but then also the right stick. We talk about name changes. So you mentioned Triple Play to MVP. That was a big one. There was also Knockout Kings to Fight Night. Mm-hmm. And when Knockout Kings switched to Fight Night, it also went to the analog sticks. And even though there's still a lot of people who enjoy using the buttons for those functions, really, Fight Night was built off the analog sticks. Isn't that kind of the one that eased us into the stick usage in sports games, you think?
Yeah, I think so. And then, I mean, because we started using, in NBA Live at least, you started using that whole freestyle control even on the PS2. And so, you know, that's when I really started getting used to just having that, those analog sticks being used a lot. But then, like you said, when the you know, Xbox came out, the original Xbox, that's when they really started having like the analog sticks using on both of them, you know.
Yeah, and I've always kind of felt that the sticks work best as secondary functions. I think maybe in NHL, where you shoot with the stick, that's one of the few where a primary function I think works well for the stick. In a way, I kind of feel like they're being overused, or companies are feeling like they have to utilize these things because it's a next-gen type feel. So we'll see how this works in Live, because I'm not sure, you know. I'm not sure about right stick with shooting. I never liked using the right stick to shoot in the 2K games. I like the right stick for the dribbling. Again, that's probably part because I was just comfortable with it. But so we'll see how that all works out. But it's definitely going to be interesting to follow, and I suspect we'll find out a lot at E3, because this news wasn't supposed to have broken yet, and neither were we supposed to know some of these details. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes from here. Then we also had that very same day that NBA Live news started breaking, was also big for the 2K series, because a rumor but I don't think ESPN would post a rumor without substance. So this is probably going to happen. Michael Jordan as the cover athlete for NBA 2K11. And along with that, not just Jordan on the cover, but he would be a playable character in the game, and then they would also attempt to sign other legendary players, maybe from his day, to kind of recreate the magic of the NBA during his time there. You know, generally we talk about cover athletes, and it's not a huge deal sales wise. I mean, there's a marketing angle behind each one, but you know, you put Kobe on 2K11, it's not really going to increase sales of 2K11, but having Kobe talk about the game and stuff gives it good exposure. With Michael Jordan here, it'd definitely be a big cost to get him for this role for their game, but I think maybe that brings back some old school gamers even to jump in. Do you feel like you would have a more incentive to play 2K11? Because I know, like, I would if they got, you know, my basketball team was stolen from me, okay? And ever since, you know, I don't have the same interest in the NBA anymore. Yeah. But if 2K got, like, Sean Kemp and Gary Payton in, man, you know, like, I would have trouble not playing that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, would you want to, is this more appealing to you if they have these guys in?
I don't know. I think it depends on how it's done. You know, I'm going to play 2K regardless if they have Legends in it or not. I think for me what it would have to be is it would have to be not just individual players. Like, I don't want to see Michael Jordan, Sean Kemp in, like, the free agent pool or something like that. But, you know, if they had one of these things where maybe if it went even further, not so much like an all-90s team and had them on there, but if they had select great, so-called great teams of the NBA, you know, like you could have teams that made the finals in the 90s. Like, you can have that Sonics team that had Gary Payton and Sean Kemp that played the Bulls in the finals, you know. I think I would be more interested in you know, all-time greats in the game if it was something like that. I've never really been into any of these things, like whenever they have individual great players and guys you can unlock and stuff like that, I've never really gotten into. And I think that's part of the reason is I don't know, it just seems like it's just a gimmick to me, you know? And yeah, that's why I don't think I would play it.
I can see that you'd want maybe the full Bulls team from one of those years, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than here's a team with Jordan and Sean Kemp on it together, mm-hmm. Mixing and matching. Yeah, I can see that. You know, this would just be another way we'd see differentiation between these games, because obviously if 2K signs Jordan, NBA Elite isn't going to have Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Not going to have it either way, but, you know, it's something different. So we see NBA Live when they signed the FIBA agreement, and they got that exclusivity, and then they have the synergy stats and ratings updates, and 2K's trying to do their own thing here. And I think what they're looking at is bringing that retro feel back. And I wonder if 2K kind of peaked sales-wise. I don't know how much growth was left there for them, which is probably why they're looking to extend out with something like this. It's definitely an appealing thing. I'm sure it's going to cost them a lot of money if they actually can get through with this. But I can see it increasing sales. I can't.
Well, you know, you kind of touched on it a little bit when you were talking about marketing. I think that EA does a pretty good job marketing Madden. I mean, you see it in the draft. You see it the commercials all the time for it. You know, they do a good job of marketing it. But I think that 2K Sports really does a great job at marketing NBA. Kobe was on the cover, but this year they had that special edition, anniversary edition of the game where you could, it was more expensive, but I don't remember what you got. You got like a locker and you got like all this extras, you know? But the thing was, I kept seeing commercials about that stuff. And whereas like, I don't really see commercials for their MLB game. So I think the impression I get is like, they know where they have an advantage, and they know what game they actually make that people buy. And so it's like almost like they put all their eggs in one basket and said, okay, well, we're just going to advertise the crap out of this game and make it good, you know, like make people want to buy it. And, you know, Jordan sells, man. His name sells. And if he's endorsing a game, I think, like you said, it might bring some of these guys who grew up watching Jordan. You know, I mean, not necessarily like the NBA today, but, you know, will want to play as him again.
Yeah, you know, marketing-wise, I think 2K takes a different route, and the reason why it works with basketball is it's more of like a street-level feel. Mm-hmm. You know, and plus it's word of mouth. Like I said, once you get to a certain state where the name becomes bigger, where the brand becomes big, it's a lot easier to do that type of thing, and that's why it hasn't worked for 2K baseball, is because it's not nearly same level as their NBA franchises. So, you know, but I have to ask you didn't see the $1 million contest commercials with Evan Longoria everywhere on TV?
Well,
over the last couple months, you must have seen those.
I've seen them to be honest, man, I only saw it a couple times, and I think the only time I had seen it was when I was watching. I was slipping to a Cubs game. And I saw it then. Other than that, I didn't really see it, you know. And I don't know if it's one of these things like where as soon as I saw baseball on the TV, I switched the commercial, you know, because I really don't like baseball. But no, I did see a couple commercials about that. But just looking at, okay, so this was like the first year that they did something like that, you know, $1 million, at least 2K did. You know, I only other time I think I saw a couple commercials here and there was when they had Jeter on the cover when he was endorsing the game, but. Yeah, you know, I don't know, man. I think that with 2K, I always see stuff for the NBA, and like I said, maybe it's because I always watch more NBA, and so they're airing these commercials during games or what. But I always thought that they did a better job marketing their basketball titles more so than any other titles that they had.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't deny that. I mean, NBA 2K really it's the driving force behind their brand right now, and it has been for a couple years, because you have NBA 2K, then you have MLB 2K, which is certainly, you know, struggled to say the least, then you have NHL 2K, which is pretty much dead, it's just coming out on the Wii, and now we have EA taking an NHL to the game to the Wii, which is probably going to blow it out of the water in sales, because it's bringing NHL Slapshot is the name, and it's bringing controller attachment in the shape of a hockey stick, and it's got Wayne Gretzky on the cover. I mean, there's no way they can that 2K can compete with that with this casual crowd on the Wii, I don't think. So we got this news this weekend that EA is going to announce this NHL Slapshot, which is it's going to be probably, they don't know the price, but it's probably going to be $60, which is $10 more than a typical Wii game. But it includes the hockey stick attachment, which you put the Wiimote in, you also put the nunchuck in, and together in sync, supposedly it's supposed to have one-to-one reception. So basically motion plus without having motion plus. You use the stick to check, you use the nunchuck to move around with the stick, and it's you know, it actually sounds like it's going to work pretty well. I don't, you know, like, we've talked about the Wii many times before. I don't see myself, like, would you ever like physically pick up the stick and swing it around in your living room? I can't do that. I just can't. You know, like, I don't know if hardcore gamers can. Do you think there's a segment here, families maybe? Do you think there's anybody who's, you know, it's going to work for the Wii better than if they didn't have a controller attachment, just because it seems like people run to buy those things for some reason. But like, do you think this is going to catch on at all?
I don't know. I mean, that those kind of things have their own fan base. You know, there's going to be people who buy it. Now, whether I go out, no, I don't see myself in my living room swinging a stick. It's like, I almost feel like I'm a grown-ass man, you know, like if I want to do that kind of stuff, just go out and really play hockey or something, you know, I just don't see myself doing that.
You know what scared me about it, though, is we see this come out, and then my first thought was, oh, crap, here comes, you know, their motion for Natal and PlayStation Move. You know, like, this is the first step, right? Uh-huh. It's getting a start there. And then we're going to have Natal where you virtually have a hockey stick in your hand or whatever, and then you have Move where you can pretty much do the same thing and stick the Move controllers in a hockey stick if you want to. this is where it's going, man.
Yeah,
and it scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, you know, I don't, for some reason, man, I just can't get into that. I don't take it seriously when I have to do that crap. I want to sit with the controller in my hand and just play it that way, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, there's always the ability to have the alternate control schemes, and you can play NHL Slapshot on the Wii without using the stick, but when 90% of development time goes into optimizing a game for a peripheral or for motion control, you know, that's obviously what the game was built for, so the experience is going to be best in that regard. So it just scares me a little, you know, if we do... The one thing I like about it, though, is that they didn't just make it NHL 11. They made it NHL Slapshot. So if they're going to do movement-based games, I sure hope they're standalone games and not built over top what we have now. And I think that's probably where they'll start anyways, or offer it as alternate schemes. But, yeah, big marketing power behind that. I'm sure they're really going to push that big. And in Canada, it'll probably sell really well with Gretzky and the marketing they're going to be doing up there. One last thing. We did find out that the NCAA football demo will be out during E3. It's going to come out on the 14th for the 360, the 15th for the PS3. E3, there's press conferences on the 14th, but the actual convention starts on the 15th. So it'd be kind of cool. I'll be down there on the floor giving impressions, grabbing videos, pictures, and stuff like that of NCAA football. But then everybody else can be able to try it at home. The nice thing about that, I think coverage-wise, will be that if you have a problem with the NCAA demo, if you want to know how it compares to the build that I'm able to play, if you want to know different options, those types of things, I'll be able to check on those and give you a comparison to the demo you have at home. So that's what I'm looking forward to there. And then, of course, the other games I'll just be able to give fresh impressions on. But it'd be pretty neat to know that people are able to play the NCAA demo at home, and then I can kind of go over top that with thoughts on comparisons and different things people are noticing at home, and I can look for in the updated version. The build at E3 is typically pretty close to final, so I'll be able to tell a lot about that from playing it there, and then getting your thoughts on the demo from home. I won't be able to play the demo. So you guys will, you know, people will be able to play NCAA football before me, playing the demo on the Monday while I'm preparing for E3 the next day. So I think that we're gonna go without an entertainment talk this week, but we'll roll that back in next week, and I think we'll have Dylan, aka Jerkface Fave, on with us for the next recording this coming weekend, which will be kind of a pre E3 show where we preview that, and then we can also talk about the UFC league that we've got set up and are planning to get going here within the next few days. So thanks again, Fred, and everybody take care, and I'll catch you next week with the next Padrecast.